Blog Talk Radio.
Once again, Yahweh bless you, see Israel, and thank you for bringing me into tonight's broadcast among a cast of hundreds of thousands. Well, it's an interesting thing to see that what Sharat tells us about being among a cast of hundreds of thousands. In the book of Sharat, chapter 6, verse 6, it tells us, be at peace with many, but have one counselor over a thousand. That's so we can have a narrow pathway for righteousness. Because when you have more than one cook trying to make a cake, you got a problem. You may have something else besides a cake. You remember what it tells us in 2 Esther chapter 7, verses 7 and 8? 7 says, the entrance therefore is narrow and set in a dangerous place to fall. Like if there was fire on the right hand and on the left deep water. 8, and only one path between them both, between the fire and the water, so small there could only be one man go there at once. So we remember these verses that we're taught because it tells us one thing, that a key teacher cannot learn from his students because he's giving wise counsel. But having knowledge, he gains even more experience by teaching. Now, a student can learn from wise counsel, possibly learning to teach one day themselves. This shows well in all the six camps that teach. Because we know we came to hear many things from the Bible that most of us can hear and some listening, they never understand. But Yahweh's ministry reaches out to make all this misunderstanding very possible. We have to be aware by knowing the scriptures and the Bible precepts we're given the knowledge to know. There are those out there that camouflage their evil or confused teachings, and mostly confused, and overly loud bump the gums contests for righteous learning. You even find them using the Bible scriptures as verbal weapons against those of us that know. This is why we're here, to help guide you through these dark times of bad teaching and Christianity. And thanking you for attending our live broadcast of Yahweh's ministry that comes to you live and open to you always with new and exciting topics from the King James Bible. First and foremost, about Yahweh's words, connecting the Bible books, your health, and foods that you should eat in keeping the Sabbath days. We do this because you have not. This is information you all came to seek. And now you found that which you have sought in the voices of the true Israelites, tribe of Yehudah. We're open unto you from 6 p.m. to 9 p.m. And the days, Sunday, Monday, Wednesday, Thursday, having no class on Tuesday unless we have a high day or a special event. Now we do have a Sabbath class. The top part of Sabbath is Friday. Current time starting for that class is 7:30 to 10:30. And the bottom part is Saturday. We have a temple class that starts at 12 p.m. and the online class that starts at 2 to 5 until the temple members desire to leave. We also have a website address. To use this on any search engine, enter tryyahweh.com. Again, Yahweh bless you, see Israel. That was kind of a surprise. Each and every time that they flex their muscles, it appears we don't have the strength to overpower them. So not having the strength has already told us you have to use wisdom to overpower that which is strong. This is why we come from the voices of the true Israelites, tribe of Yahdah. And we're open unto you from 6 p.m. to 9 p.m. And the days, once again, is Sunday, Monday, Wednesday, and Thursday. We don't have a class on Tuesday unless we have a high day or a special event. Now, Sabbath class we do have. The top part is Friday from 7:30 to 10:30. The bottom part of the Sabbath is Saturday. We have a temple class that starts at 12 p.m. and an online class that starts at 2 to 5 until the temple members desire to leave. We also have a website address on any search line and a tribeyada.com. And after you click enter, just under the big line, you will see some choices. One of the choices will be tithes and offerings. Click PayPal and follow the instructions. Any other device, you possibly might see menu. But after clicking this, again, you'll see choices. Still choose tithes and offerings. In doing so, remember what it tells all of us in the book of Psalms, chapter 96, verse 7 and verse 8. 7 says, give unto the Yahuwah your kindred to the people. Give unto the Yahuwah glory and strength. 8, give unto the Yahuwah the glory due unto his name, and bring an offering and come into his courts. Now, I always remind everyone that when you're doing this, to remember that Yahuwah loves that you're forgiven. Also, donations to this ministry is greatly appreciated, that you give according to the Bible scriptures that are mentioned in the book of Leviticus, chapter 27, verse number 30, and once again mentioned in the book of Hebrews, chapter 7, verse 8, and verse number 9. This is done to keep this ministry bringing you Thus Says Yahuwah live, and also for building a school, a banquet hall, radio station, and land to grow the help foods we continue to speak of on this program. Hallelujah, Yahuwah. Also, while there, don't forget to check our calendar. The calendar will help keep you, your family, and friends, and that includes myself, in tune with the Bible feast days that come to us throughout the year. We also have a live program. This is a feature that's only available during our live broadcast time. Just enter three words, Yahuwah Radio Live. And after you click enter, look for Voices of the True Israelites, Tribe of Yada. Just click the red live button as soon as it appears. It'll put you right into our live online broadcast. We even have two email addresses. The first is tribeyada@gmail.com. This is for writing your written opinions and questions of a biblical subject answer or related topics. The other is yhdhysraeal@gmail.com. This is also for biblical subjects or related topics. We even have a few numbers you can call with Yahuwah in mind. The first is the live conference room number. This is 319-527-6065. The other is 224-600-5579. This would be our international number, where you can call and leave a message on scriptures you may have questions on, which can be answered by any one of the six anointed camps of Yahuwah's ministry. Now, so in saying that, please do not call the international line to teach. You will not receive a response. Remember what it says in the book of Sirach, chapter 6, verse number 6. It says, be at peace with many. Nevertheless, have but one counselor over 1,000. So we have one teacher. Thank you very much. You can also inquire on the same number about receiving the 12 programs via the 12 Tribes of Israel on DVD by calling that same phone number. Just make sure you give us the correct name and the correct address, and you will receive it promptly. On another note, please do not contact us here via email, phone, or text before broadcast or afterwards. The seer is usually pretty busy with the WCC, as we've seen earlier. The New York Station stockholder, Mr. Cigar Man, and by that, answering many memos, even the Latter-day Saints. So please use the international line of 224-600-5579, and if the question is legit, you will receive a call back. But remember, by calling this line, it is not to teach, it is to inform. Also, when the temple members are doing a group scripture text, it should be a phone call to rehearse the righteous act and to answer by giving with the verbal precept, as the seer says. Remember, we are the children of Israel, the blessed peacemakers, as told us in the book of Matthew, chapter 5, verse number 9. Now, if you've happened to miss the beginning of our program, you can always listen to the entire show today at 9:15 p.m. except Fridays. Program time will be repeated after 10:30. Just enter three words, Yahuwah Radio Live. And after clicking on, look for Voices of the True Israelites, Tribe of Yada. At that point, just choose the program that you were late logging into or any previous day that you would like to listen. Now, during the normal Broad Talk broadcast, I'd like to mention, we're also simultaneously transmitting our program on Pal Talk, being listed under ethnic group, African American. Just look once again for Voices of the True Israelites, Tribe of Yada. And you'll find this is where Yahuwah's Word is also working for your Bible education. Online there to answer any of the on-the-table topics we discuss during our program will be Elder Mr. Tibbs, along with Seer Israel riding a shotgun. And during that time, you'll find we'll be taking no comments off topics or any more than two text questions answered at a time. And if Broad Talk ends before teaching time, we will continue our teaching on Pal Talk. But when given scriptures to read by the seer, always be quick to hear and slow to speak, so the words of Yahuwah will flow smoothly, remembering that we have hundreds of thousands of listeners that want to hear the righteous words of Yahuwah. So we can begin to listen to those righteous words, we will press our program over to our seer Israel and say, Hallelujah. Yahuwah.
Hallelujah, Yahuwah. You know, that sounds great. That sounds great. No doubt about it. All right. We're just going to be in the room, and we'll get right on it. We'll be back. We'll be in the room for tonight's episode. I'm hearing some background noise. I don't know where that comes from. I'm hearing some background noise from somewhere. I don't know where it's coming from. All right. No problem about that. What we're going to do, we're going to see who's going to be on stage for tonight's episode, part number 114. And like I said, well, we clear that this ministry is a load on the known world. We clear about that. Let's see if we can find who's on the stage for tonight's episode, part number 114. We'll get something going on. I'm doing hearing sounds in the background. So WCC, I don't know. You a Latter-day Saints, I'm hearing sounds, a lot of sounds in the background. Can you do anything about that?
I just ask you to test it. Go through. So if you think we're just making this stuff up, then I invite you to please test this information. But there was a huge shift in the late 1800s and the early 1900s that dramatically impacted the church. And the biggest name for that, in my mind, is dispensationalism or dispensational theology. And it actually was this idea that divided up the ages of the scriptures into seven dispensational ages. And so because of that, there was this idea that there was an age of law and there was an age of innocence. And now we're in this church age, this age of grace, where we're kind of in this parentheses between God dealt with Israel earlier, and now there's this giant parentheses where the church lives, and then after that, he's going to deal with Israel again. And that thinking, that theology, and that doctrine was not taught before the late 1800s, and it was fathered by very specific people, and we can trace it very easily. Let me go ahead and do a screen share with you, and we'll go over some of the stuff real quick. First, I want to show you Mr. John Nelson Darby. And if you go into just even his Wikipedia page, and of course there's a lot more information and books about him that confirm this, he's considered to be the father of modern dispensationalism and futurism, okay? Pre-tribulation rapture theology was popularized extensively in the 1830s by John Nelson Darby and the Plymouth Brethren, and further popularized in the United States in the early 20th century, which is early 1900s, by the wide circulation of the Scofield Reference Bible. So we'll talk about that a little bit more. And again, I dive way more deep into this in the How the West Was Lost video. So this is John Nelson Darby. He developed dispensationalism, this idea that we just mentioned of breaking the scriptures up into all these different sections and saying, oh, in each section, God deals with people differently and has different rules and a new way of doing things in each section. So that idea came from this man right here. Okay, so we talked about the Scofield Reference Bible before. before we do that, I want to mention C.I. Schofield, which is another guy who was a huge influence in the same time frame. In fact, it says here he popularized futurism and dispensationalism among fundamentalist Christians, okay? The fundamentalist Christians had a huge influence on the entire body of Christ in the early 1900s. But C.I. Schofield actually is the one who penned this expression of rightly dividing the word of truth. And actually, that was a pamphlet that he published in 1896 that he wrote. That basically was an explanation of dispensationalism, where you get this idea of, you know, if you don't divide it up right, if you don't realize that most of the New Testament is for the Jews and not for you, O graceful church bride, then you're going to be really confused. So that idea was brand new. That was brand spanking new. All the early church all believed everything that Yeshua taught, Jesus Christ, and they all followed what he taught. And so this idea now coming from these guys that basically what Jesus taught doesn't apply to us is just brand new. It's within the last 130 years or so. But more specifically, I wanted to bring up the Schofield Reference Bible, because this is the man who penned it. And the Schofield Reference Bible was essentially what popularized dispensationalism right here. Okay? It was released in 1909 and revised in 1917. Now, this Bible was the first Bible since the Geneva Bible, which, by the way, the Geneva Bible was written in the 1500s, okay? This is the first Bible since the Geneva Bible to have a side-by-side commentary within the pages like this. Here's an example right here, actually. So you have the scriptures here, and then you have C.I. Schofield's comments right here. So you're like, you read this, and you're like, oh, this verse is tough, I don't understand it. Well, don't worry, C.I. Schofield will tell you what to believe. Another thing I wanted to mention about the Schofield Reference Bible is that it perpetuated what's known as the gap theory. This idea that there was a gap of time between Genesis chapter 1, verse 1, and Genesis chapter 1, verse 2. A gap of time that could have potentially been billions of years. So this was the first time a commentary and Bible was developed that basically bowed down to modern scientism to allow the existence of evolution to creep into the minds of the church. So because of this gap theory that this Bible helped promote, now it's okay to believe in evolutionary Darwinism, which was very popular at this time, was brand new and popular. And it's okay to do that and be a Christian at the same time. And, you know, this was the separation of what was called the church from Israel, when in fact, if you look at, again, the etymology of all the scriptures, the church and Israel are not separate. They are the same thing. The Rahal, the congregation of Hebrews, is the same congregation of the body of Christ right now. There's only one way in. We all know what it is, right, guys? Right? There's only one way, one truth, one life. No other way. All right, so I'm going to move on from him. So this book was published. It became the most popular study Bible, reference Bible, in America. And it was adopted by some huge seminaries, and one of them specifically is the Dallas Theological Seminary, which actually, that's interesting. Oops. The Dallas Theological Seminary, look, it is known for popularizing the theological system known as dispensationalism, okay? Now, this seminary was actually founded upon this teaching, this dispensational teaching. It was this seminary. The first day it opened its doors was teaching dispensational theology, and this popularized this among, I mean, we're talking thousands of pastors who went to seminary, learned dispensational theology, went out to the churches and taught it like it was just a fact from the beginning of time, when in fact, it was it was not very old at all, okay? So this is the kind of the chain of events that took place to allow this dispensationalism, this rightly dividing the word of truth and all of that to kind of infiltrate the church system and really mess up the thinking of the church towards, well, who is Israel? Who's the church? You know, and another one of the tricks that were played is they started referring to Israel as Jews.
Right.
Like everyone that's
Jews, you know, that's a slang term for, you know, the tribe of Judah. So that technically only represents, well,
two tribes because Benjamin kind of merged with the southern kingdom of Judah. But, you know, like we were saying before, the title all throughout Scripture. I mean, honestly, I think there's probably over 100 scriptures that we will see in Ezekiel is these two sticks. They come together as one, which hasn't, you know, if Satan can hide our identity, you know, within weakness yet, that you are Israel, you are the house of Israel, and belief that hate Christians and don't believe in Yeshua, they're the Gentiles. They're actually the Gentiles. They're actually the non-believers. So, anyways.
Well, so, a minute ago I heard the elder specifically say, if you want to know something, don't call in and start teaching, and that's exactly what the Latter-day Saints just got through doing. I mean, what you just put on the table, was it supposed to be something new to us? I don't know. Well, like I said again, whatever you just got through saying, we aware of everything you just got through saying. Enough said on that. So you do teaching, WCC, Latter-day Saints, the Roman Catholic Church, y'all do teaching. Now let us get to do some teaching now. All right, good enough. Let's see if we can go find the young line and bring him in. And we have no control of what's going on nice broadcast. We're just playing it by ear, no doubt about it. Bob Makayev, Tribe of Yahdah Judah, young lion, coming on the stage, number 114. Yahqua beat you there, C. Roy.
Yahqua bless you, sir. It's real. Up, C. Roy. Hallelujah, Yahqua.
Hallelujah, Yahqua. So, I guess, like we keep telling the whole world, we don't come on the broadcast to be taught. We come to teach. That's just the way it is. All right, young lion. Let's see who else gonna be on the stage for a nice episode. Mother D of Israel, Tribe of Yahdah Judah. Yahqua beat you, see Roy.
Yahqua bless you, Sia Israel of C. Roy. Hallelujah, Yahqua.
Hallelujah, Yahqua. They have Mother D of Israel. Well, that's a good thing. And it's running around Camp Fort, Detroit, Michigan. Will you be on the stage for lesson 114? Yahqua beat you to see Roy. Detroit, Michigan. Yahqua beat you to see Roy. See a week on a mute camp boy. Just like we put on a lesson for you to think about it. Okay, well. We hear you. All right. Brother Micaiah, young lion. One thing about it, we prepared to take care of our end just by hearing up the Luke. Chapter
12,
verse
12.
What's going on with that? Come on.
The book of Luke, chapter 12, verse 12. Verse 12 reads, for the righteous spirit shall teach you in the same hour what you are to say.
That's right there, young lion. See, you can't get rattled when you know you're in the driver's seat. That is, see, we clear that the six anointed camps is in the driver's seat. So any way they can get you to rattle, you will be tested. And that's why we got to try everybody, see they prepared to take care of this business. Let's open up and try one more time. I need a double dose of Luke, chapter 12, verse 12. I need a double dose for tape 114. You're back on the clock again. Come on.
The book of Luke, chapter 12, verse 12. Verse 12 reads, for the righteous spirit shall teach you in the same hour what you are to say.
Well, and I believe that the righteous spirit do all the teaching. No doubt about it, the righteous spirit will do all the teaching. But one thing about the righteous spirit, and Wisdom of Solomon 1 verse 5 says what? What do the righteous spirit do according to the Wisdom of Solomon 1 verse 5? Let's see what we got there. Come on.
The book of Wisdom of Solomon. Chapter 1, 5 reads, for the righteous spirit of discipline will flee deceit and remove from thoughts that are without understanding and will not abide with righteousness cometh in.
Mm-hmm. That's right. So let's see, can we analyze what we just got through here for the last 30 minutes? Let's see, can we analyze exactly what we just got through here for the last 30 minutes? Let's try Psalm 64, 1 through 9. Let's see if we can get Psalm 64, 1 through 9. And Mother D.F. Israel meets Psalm 51, 16 down to verse 22. Let's see, can we analyze what we just got through experiencing for the last 30 minutes on tape 114. Psalm 64, 1 through 9, backed up with Mother D.F. Israel, 51, 16 down to verse 22. You're on the clock, you're online, come on.
The book of Psalms, chapter 64, verses 1 through 9. Verse 1 reads, "Hear my voice, O Yahuwah, and my prayer, preserve my life from fear of the enemy. Verse 2, hide me from the secret counsel of the wicked, from the insurrection of the workers of sin. Verse 3, who whet their tongues like a sword, and bend their bows to shoot their arrows, even bitter words. Verse 4, that they may shoot in secret at the person. Suddenly do they shoot at him and fear not. Verse 5. They encourage themselves in an evil matter. They consume of lying snares privately. They say, who shall see them? Verse 6. They search out sin. They accomplish a diligent search, both the inward thought of every one of them, and the mind is deep. Verse 7. But Yahuwah shall shoot at them with an arrow. Suddenly, they be wounded. Verse 8. So they shall make their own tongue to fall upon themselves. All that see them shall flee away. Verse 9. And all men shall fear and shall declare the work of Yahuwah, for they shall wisely consider of his doom."
Read verse 2 again.
Verse 2 reads, "Hide me from the secret counsel of the wicked, from the insurrection of the workers of sin."
Good. So, read verse 3.
Verse 3 reads, "Who wet their tongue like a sword, and bend their bow to shoot their arrows, even bitter words."
And that's exactly what they just did for the last 30 minutes, dropped some bitter words. But one thing about it, we clear, according to verse 8, their own tongue is going to expose their hand one way or the other, no doubt about it. Because one thing about it, Elder just got through saying that when you get on the line or on the international line, don't call to teach. Call to be taught. And if your call is legit, we'll get back with you. That was the Elder said. And then after that, we got 20 minutes of teaching from the Latter-day Saints about Scofield and Darwin. We know all about them. That's what the world be teaching on. We clear about they the one gave you what you got now. That's why we so confused now. And that's why we must come now. And we're going to come. But one thing we do know, Mother Day of Israel, what it says in Psalms chapter 51, 16 down to verse 22. You're on the clock. Come on.
You said Psalms 51.
Yes. 16 down to verse 22. Yes, ma'am.
Go to 19.
Well, make it 5-0 then. Well, quite naturally, Seer made a little error.
All right.
Pick up on the Seer's error. Make that 5-0.
Okay.
16 down to verse 22. All right.
Psalms chapter 50, verse 16 through 22. Verse 16. "But unto the wicked, Yahuwah said, what have I to do to declare my statutes or that thou shouldest take my covenant in thy mouth. Verse 17. Seeing thou hatest instruction and castest my words behind thee. Verse 18. When thou sawest a thief, then thou consented with him and has been partakers with adultery. Verse 19. Thou givest thy mouth to evil, and thou tongue framest deceit. Verse 20. Thou sittest and speakest against your brother. Thou slanderest thine own mother's son. Verse 21. These things have thou done, and I kept silent. Thou thoughtest that I was altogether such an one as yourself. But I will reprove thee and set them in order before thine eyes. 22. Now consider this, ye that forget Yahweh, lest I tear you in pieces, and there be none to deliver.
So we got to, we're going to consider that. Yahweh saying the wicked have no business even putting on scriptures on the network, right? Like we don't understand what's going on. But see, in second book of, let me see, make it a first book. I'm going to make it a second book of Maccabees there, young lion. Hey, mother dear Israel, read Psalm 58, verse 3. And young lion, meet me over there in the book of Maccabees, chapter 7. There's something I need to look at in second Maccabees, chapter 7. I'm seeing I can make some sense out of what we just got through here on the network. See if I make a little sense out of it. But let me see what Psalm 58, verse 3 said, Mother D.F. Israel. What do that say that we can read?
Psalm chapter 58, verse 3. The wicked are estranged from the womb. They go astray as soon as they be born, speaking lies.
That's what the wicked going to do anyway it go. Regardless of how it make it sound, we know what you're going to do. We clear what you're going to do every chance you get. But see, but what we have a problem with, we, as long as we follow and choose the wicked ways, matter of fact, Maudia Israel, what do we say in 3:31 down in verse 33 of Proverbs? While I'm peeping in the book of Maccabees there, young lion, I want to see something. It's just, what can we read in, what did I just say, Maudia Israel? Go ahead.
Proverbs chapter 3.
Yeah.
I don't know what
31. 31 to 33.
Okay. Proverbs chapter 3, verses 31 to 33. Verse 31. Envy thou not the oppressor, and choose none of his ways. 32. For the forward is abomination to Yahweh, but his secret is with the righteous. 33. The curse of Yahweh is in the house of the wicked, but he blesses the habitation of the just.
And that's right. Let's go to second book of Maccabees there, young lion. Because it's important that we want to bring out, then we don't get back to, but we want to bring out a point. In second book of Maccabees, chapter 7, let me look at one verse at a time. Give me 7, verse number 1. What it says in 7, verse 1.
Okay, the book of 2 Maccabees, chapter 7, verse 1. Verse 1 reads, it came to pass also that seven brethren with their mother were taken and compelled by the king against the law to take swine's flesh and were tormented with scourges and whips.
So this woman had seven sons, and all of them were tribes. And what happened next in verse 2?
Verse 2. But one of them that spake first said thus, what would you ask or learn of us? We are ready to die rather than to transgress the Torah structures of our fathers.
You see that? You see the spirit they had? See, that spirit, we have lost this spirit by not knowing who we are. When it comes down to breaking the Torah instruction, we don't have this spirit now. Right now, if we in a tight, whatever you want to know, we'll go right away and put it on table. See, the spirit that our forefathers and mothers had back in the days, that spirit no longer exists because, first of all, we don't know who we are. So they said when it comes down to the Torah instruction, violating anything that the Bible got to say, you might well gonna make your move on us right now, because we gonna die for this thing here. Now that's the spirit that gotta be taught again, because right now all we gotta do now is do anything that's contrary to somebody else that's close to you, and then you'll tell everything you need to know then and there. So that's the way it is. So we're gonna leave that like it is. We're gonna skip down a little further. And let's see if we get some more out of this. Skip down to verse number 6. Let's see if we get a little bit more out of this.
Okay. The book of 2 Maccabees, chapter 7, verse 6. Verse 6 reads, Yahweh looked upon us, and in truth have comfort in us, as Moses in his song, which witnessed to their faces, declared, saying, and he shall be comfort in his servants.
Keep reading that. Let's read a little bit. Let's find out some more on this thing. My father, skip down to verse number 9.
Okay, verse 9 reads, and when he was at the last gap, he said, you taketh us out of this present life. But the king of the world shall raise us up, who have died for his Torah instruction, unto everlasting life. Verse 10.
Let me get in on that. You see that? Again, when it comes down to the Torah instructions called the law, the children of the book, they knew one thing, that they would put in it for predicament by the Almighty, and they know the only way to get out of it is through the Almighty. So now that can bring me to a great point later on that I might have to get that right away. Mother D.F. Israel, give me how to have that waiting on me. Second Ezra chapter 4, verse 28. Have that waiting on me, 4:28. We're going to read a little bit. I don't know where we're going, but something's going to come out of this. Now keep reading that, young man. Verse 9.
Okay. The book of 2 Maccabees, chapter 7, verse 9. Pick back up at verse 9. And when he was at the last gasp, he said, you like a furry, taketh us out of this present life. But the king of the world should raise us up, who have died for his Torah instruction, unto everlasting life. Verse 10.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, skip down to verse number 11 and 12. What did it say?
11 and 12 reads, and said courageously, these I had from heaven, and for his Torah instructions I despised them, and from him I hope to receive them again. Verse 12, and so much that the king and they that were with him marveled at the young man's courage, for that he nothing regarded the pain.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, go ahead, read a bit. Go ahead, read a bit. It's something in his story that needs to be brought out on tape 114. And just go ahead and read the storyline from that point on, and take it on down to verse 21. Take it straight down to verse 21. There's something in the story there, Brother Micaiah, this is what we got to be able to build on what's coming up in front of us right now. Let's find out from the point you on right now, straight on down to 21. Go ahead.
Okay, the book of 2 Maccabees, chapter 7, picking up at verse 13 out of 21. 13 reads, "Now when this man was dead also, they tormented and mangled the corpse in like manner." Verse 14, "So when he was ready to die, he said thus, 'It is good, being put to death by men, to look for hope from Yahweh, to be raised up again by him. As for you, you shall have no resurrection to life.'" Verse 15.
Stop it there.
Afterward.
Stop it there. Stop it there. Stop it there. Now you see what he's saying? Now he's telling the sense of, this is Esau and his five sons.
Look at
He let him know behind your weakness, whatever you got on tape. Guess what? All you doing is adding points for time to come. But when the resurrection comes, you're not going to have no part in the resurrection. Is that what he's saying? So you see, sometimes when you do certain things today, don't know Yahweh is putting that on you. Let me get a precept out of that. Let me get a precept out of that. Mother dear of Israel, you know, take off one of them shoes and throw it one of them grandbabies and tell them back up, because you want to international radio broadcast, over 400,000 on the international side, they all is. Tell them whatever it is, let it wait until I get my hammer off this broadcast out the way. In the book of the 16th chapter, Mother G.F. Israel, 1 down to verse 4 in Proverbs, then pick up at 21, 1 and 2. All right, listen real good to that Mother Dear of Israel, because we coming from the spirit of Yahweh trying to debunk what we heard earlier through the scriptures. So be all ears and tell them grandbabies to back up for a minute until you can get this ham out the way. Proverbs 16, 1 and 2, then swing down 16, 1 through 4. And Proverbs 21, 1 and 2. Back to back, Mother of Israel. Come on.
Well, you said go to Proverbs 16, 1 and 2. And then go
1,
to 21.
1, 2, 3, 4. 1, 2, 3, 4. 1, 2, 3,
okay.
4.
Okay. Okay. Proverbs chapter 16, verses 1 to 4. verse 1. The preparation of the mind in man and the answer of the tongue is from Yahweh. Verse 2. All the ways of a man are clean in his own eyes, but Yahweh weighs the spirit. Verse 3. Commit your works unto Yahweh, and thou thought shall be established. Verse 4, Yahweh has made all things for himself, yea, even the wicked, for the day of evil.
Mm-hmm. So it clear that the wicked was made for the day of evil. He has to have somebody to play that role. So he got a people playing the role of the wicked. So that's understandable. That's clear. But we're going to find out something. And 21, verse 1 and 2 says, what the Proverbs, what it says?
Proverbs chapter 21. That's what I was trying to get to. Proverbs chapter 21, verses 1 and 2. Read. Proverbs 21. Okay. Proverbs chapter 21, verse 1 and 2. The king's mind is in the hand of Yahweh, as the river of water. He turneth it whatsoever he will, whethersoever he will.
Mm-hmm.
Verse 2.
Yeah, go ahead.
Verse 2. Every way of a man is right in his own eyes, but Yahweh ponders the mind.
Mm-hmm. Now, come on back, young man, because one of these songs can make a profound statement, and that's what I want to hear twice after he make it. It's a statement that he's going to make, and that's a statement we got to be clear about once we have to be able to make this statement, too. Keep reading. Where you leave off on, young line?
All right, verse 14. We're going to verse 15 now. The book of 2 Maccabees, okay. Chapter 7, verse 15. Verse 15 reads, afterward, they bought the fifth also and mangled him. Verse 16, then looked he unto the king and said, you have power over men. You are corruptible. You do what you will. Yet, think not that our nation is forsaken of Yahweh. Verse 17, but abide a while, and behold his great power, how he will torment you in your seed. Verse 18.
Mm-hmm.
After him, also, they bought the six, who being ready to die, said, be not deceived without cause, for we suffer these things for ourselves, having sinned against our Yahweh. Therefore, marvelous things are done unto us. Verse 19.
All right, hold that point. Right there. Read that verse 18 again. That's the verse. See, we have to know clearly according to the scripture. Because if you continue to keep gabbing at this one-eyed Satan, you will always be behind in your babies, and you got your young babies watching that one-eyed Satan. That one-eyed Satan will keep you from knowing what you know right now. The reason why we in the trouble we in right now, because we know why we are. Because we have sinned against our mighty one. That one-eyed Satan is going to never tell you that. One-eyed Satan is going to tell you that, you were born to be a slave to us. And that's contrary to the truth. That's why you got to be very careful when you got some grandbabies over and you're sitting in front of that television. You got to sit them in front of some Bible, not that television. That television will program them at 2, and when they come 3 years old, they can tell you, that is our Savior right there, Jesus, the white man, Christ. By you letting them watch that one-eyed Satan, that one-eyed mm-hmm. Satan is not good for the children of Israel. I'm telling you up front. Whenever you just turn loose on that television, you destroy your babies and throw them shit out the house.
Mm-hmm.
And that's why, and this head will never be read and put in the head. The reason why we in condition, we know why we in trouble. Because we sin against our mighty one.
Mm-hmm.
Okay? It wasn't TV back in them days, but it, guess what? That was comfort of today. You put your babies down in front of Phil, go there and watch that TV. You're doing, you committing suicide on your offspring when you send them over there and mm-hmm. watch that one-eyed Satan.
Mm-hmm.
Right there, verse 18. Now skip down to verse 21.
Okay, the book of 2 Maccabees, chapter 7, verse 21. 21 reads, yes, she exhort every one of them in her own language, filled with courageous spirit, and stirring up her womanish thoughts with a manly stomach, she said unto them.
What did she say to them? What did she say?
22. I cannot tell how you came into my womb, For I neither gave you breath nor life, neither was it I that formed the members of every one of you.
Right.
Verse 23. But doubtless the creator of the world who formed the generation of man and found out the beginning of all things will also of his own mercy give you breath and life again, as you now regard not your own self for his, for our instruction's sake. Verse 24.
That's good talk. That's good. That's good. We're not gonna beat that no further than that. But you see what we never know. Watching that one eye say, when it comes down to it, she has seven sons. He said, look here, I'm clear that I have these seven sons I had, but how did it happen? I don't know. But one thing I do know, this is about Yahweh's business and what we ain't gonna do. So all of our sons understood this thing, and they stood stiffly. But as a matter of fact, read that. Give me 2 Ezra 7:48. This is 47. Give me 7:47. What it say in 7:47? Then read verse 48. Give me 2 Ezra. Because one thing I'm trying to tell you something, Steve Ray. We know one thing, that this ministry is a load. We unlocking minds all over the known world. And you're going to be tried. And we're going to try you too. But here's the point. If you understand what that one I'm saying is going to do, is weaken you. And that's why you got to be word up in the scriptures when time appointed. Because that one I'm saying, it takes away all your, give me a word. Give me a word. What do it take away from you? Give me a word there, Mother D.F. Israel. Give me a word with that one I say do for you. Give me a word, young lion. Somebody give me a word.
Okay.
What that one I say do
take away
you?
All your understanding.
Take away all your understanding.
All the truth.
All of your understanding. It will confuse you. By watching that one I say, you will never get down to any understanding. And that's why they came on the network and want to teach for 20 minutes. What you teaching people that's far advanced than you ever will be? See? Which is contrary to an Israelite letting you teach us anything. Because you're not the teachers. We are. But you're not going to find that out watching that one-eyed Satan. But you'll find that out. You'll find that. What am I saying? Okay, well, where we at right now anyway? What we read now?
We're reading the book of 2 Ezra, chapter 7, verse 47 and 48. 47, read.
That's the young lion. What it say?
47, read. Well, what profit is it for man now in this present time to live in heaviness and after death to look for a punishment? Verse 48. O you Adam, what has you done? For though it was you that sinned, you are not falling alone, but we all that come of you.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that was good enough, but that definitely what I didn't want. I thought I was on the right track. I was the one that they stood stiffly for the name. So we get back at that another time. But that was good enough to hold us over. But I know, I think it was in the second chapter. Is it 247, 248? Try that. Try 247, 48 there, young lion.
The book of 2 Ezra, chapter 2, verse 47 and verse 48. Verse 47, read. So he answered and said unto me, it is the son of Yahweh, whom they have confessed in the world. Then began I greatly to commend them that stood so stiffly for the name of Yahweh. Verse 48.
You see that?
And the ministering.
Go ahead.
48. Then the ministering spirit said unto me, go your way and tell my people what manner of things and how great wonders of Yahweh, your Yahweh, you have seen.
You see that? Commandment there. Now, I gotta skip it all the way around, Mother Dear, this way. I know you're holding Second Ezra, chapter 4:35. But now the ministry is announced here. I want you to skip that all the way around. And now, Mother Dear Israel, find your book of Enoch. I want to run to the book of Enoch. He said, "Yeah, that sounds pretty good going to Second Ezra, but I don't want that on the table right now. I want you to go all the way back to the book of Enoch and let's read some Enoch a little bit. Then we're gonna work our way back that way. Let's run to First Enoch chapter 50, Mother Dear Israel, and we're gonna read verse 1-5. We're going to 1 Enoch chapter 50, 1 down to verse 5. Now, we're going to learn something on the way of learning something. We're going to 50, 1 through 5, then go to 1 Enoch 92, 1 through 5. And Brother Micaiah had me Enoch 93, 1 through 14, and Enoch 108, 1 through 14. It's something that sometimes when things is put on the table, it's to bring out something else on the table. And we're going to find out. Let's see what we get. Because we're going to work our way back to by going to 1 Enoch 50, 1 through 5, backed up with 92, 1 through 5. Mother dear Israel, take your time. Now you're going back to back hardcore. Come on.
Yeah. I'm trying to find 92. Okay. 1 Enoch. Chapter 50, verses 1-5, verse 1. And in those days, a change shall take place for the righteous and elect, and the light of days shall abide on them, and glory and honor shall turn to the righteous. Verse 2. On the day of trouble, affliction will be heaped on the evil, and the righteous shall be victorious in the name of Yahweh of Spirit. For he will tell this to another, that they may repent and turn away from the work of their hands. Verse 3. They shall have no honor through the name of Yahweh of Spirit, but through his name they shall be saved. And Yahweh of Spirit will have compassion on them, for his mercy is great. Verse 4. He is righteous also in his judgment, and in the presence of his glory, unrighteousness also shall not stand at his judgment. The unrepentant shall perish before him. Verse 5. And from now on, I will have no mercy on them, says Yahweh of Spirit.
Wait a minute now. Now you stumbled on something now. I just can't let it get away. What are you telling this national audience in verse 3? What in the world is you reading in verse 3? Read that again. Verse 3.
Enoch chapter 50, verse 3. They shall have no honor through the name of Yahweh of Spirit, but through his name they shall be saved. And Yahweh of Spirit will have compassion on them, for his mercy is great.
He's saying, if you, my bad, mother, you break that down. Break that verse 3 down. Because at the end of that verse, what he's saying, he let you know that this name is just that important. And if you don't have this name, And that's why we always talk about the name. So he made it so plain in Enoch days about this name. Listen what he says and read verse 3 and break it down for over 400,000 plus on what he's saying in verse 3 and verse 5. You back on the clock. Come on.
Enoch chapter 50, verse 3 and verse 5. Verse 3. They shall have no honor through the name of Yahweh of Spirit, but through his name they shall be saved.
What is he saying? What is he saying? What is he saying there?
You gotta have a name, Yahweh, the four letters.
You got to have the name. So if you're trying to come up any other way and you ain't got that name, he says, listen, he's giving you opportunity to get the name right in verse 3, even in Enoch day. So that's why we put the four letters so hard, because we let those to know that you have nothing coming unless you got the four letters. Now, he's saying, look at the end of this thing in verse 5.
Verse 5. And from now on, I will have no mercy on them, says Yahweh of Spirit.
He said, I'm not going to have no mercy on you.
Mm-hmm.
You see, I'm not going to have no mercy on you. See, once we have told those that got here to hear about his name, and you chose to, I use it this way. You use this name over here, but over there you might not use his name. If you're not still,
what happened?
Now, the reverse.
Is it there?
Is it on there?
Okay. Now you is.
We hear you. Can you see? Too many to get back. Brother D, can you hear me?
Yeah, I hear you.
Yeah, I'm back. I'll just interrupt it by some big dignitary just cut in on my microphone and put me on and had something to say to me while I was had my helmet on. But hey, that's just the way it'll be. So I accept it. But whatever I was saying, finish reading verse 5.
Well, okay. Enoch chapter 50, verse 5. And from now on, I will have no mercy on them, says Yahweh of Spirit.
You see that? He now have no mercy once we telling you plainly about this man's name. You can keep fumbling around this man's name and think you in a ministry and you fumbling around this man's name and he telling you plainly, you ain't got nothing coming unless you got the name there. And that's in Enoch time. But I ain't doing that. I ain't doing it. Now let's go over to where you going? Get your chance to get to 92, right? Have you found your 92?
Yeah, I got it.
Okay,
Enoch
92.
Chapter.
See, I want to talk Enoch for a minute.
Okay.
Then, when we get to Ezra, hold on a minute. When we do get to Ezra, we'll be all right when we get to Ezra. But let's talk Enoch for a minute. Let's see what Enoch got written. 92:1-5. Come on.
Enoch chapter 92 verses 1-5. Verse 1. The book written by Enoch. Enoch indeed wrote this completely doctrine of wisdom which is praise of all men and a judge of all the earth. For all my children who shall live on the earth, and for the future generations who shall observe righteousness and peace. Verse 2. Let not your spirit be troubled on account of the time, for the righteous and great one has appointed days for all things. Verse 3. And the righteous one shall arise from sleep, shall arise, and walk in the path of righteousness and all his path and conversation shall be in eternal goodness and grace. Verse 4. He will be gracious to the righteous and give his righteousness, eternal righteousness. And he will give him power so that he shall be endowed with goodness and righteousness, and he shall walk in eternal life. Verse 5. And sin shall perish in darkness forever, and shall no more be seen from that day forevermore.
Now, Mother, you're doing some powerful reading, no doubt about it. But you clear what you just got through reading? Are you clear what you just got through reading out of the mouth of Enoch?
I don't know. he was saying what
See,
the righteous got coming.
Yeah, exactly right. So if you know you are the righteous,
mm-hmm.
in the days of Enoch, he's telling you what you got coming and what the unjust got coming. So he let
mm-hmm.
you know, and that's what the mother of them seven understood by having the books that we read right now. They understood this
mm-hmm.
thing. See, we don't understand nothing. See, all we right now, we getting a little tight, and whatever has to happen, we're just a bowl and go another direction. I don't understand how people can leave a ministry and now they smarter. That's the point I'm making. You leave a ministry, and now you smarter.
Mm-hmm.
You leave a ministry now you smarter, where you can send messages and come up with now titles beyond your means, and now you smarter. See, that's
mm-hmm.
how we know that it's no loyalty, but it's good when you find out they don't have no loyalty. Because how you going to leave a ministry and be smarter? That don't work nowhere. That don't work. But we leave it like it is. Now, Brother Kaya, we go on to the 93rd chapter, 1 through 14, back to 108, 1 through 14. Because there's something in this that we try to bring out. Because they have done everything, even looking at it. Well, you know the elder, we're going to nuke the elder. He'd be nuked out. So, you know, they're doing their part. But here's the
mm-hmm.
point. We got to do our part. That's all we're saying. But you got to know your part. And your part ain't when you put all that time in outside activities, unless it's your job or whatever. Fine. Take care of that business. But understand something. You got to be word up in these days to come. Enoch will make a final statement in 9:3, 1 through 14, and 108, 1 through 14, back to back. And this is what this man says, being a seventh from Adam, it's all yours now. I'll build up real good there, Brother Makai, you're on the clock, come on.
The book of Enoch, chapter 93, verses 1 through 14. Verse 1 reads, and after that Enoch both gave and began to recount from the book. And Enoch said, 2, concerning the children of righteousness, and concerning the elect of the world, and concerning the plant of righteousness, I will speak these things. I, Enoch, will declare them to you, my son, according to that which appeared to me in heavenly vision, and which I have known through the word of the righteous angel, and have learnt from heavenly tablets. Verse 3. And Enoch began to recount from the books and said, I was born the 7th in the first week. Abel, judgment and righteousness still endure. Verse 4. And after me there shall arise in the 2nd week great wickedness, and deceit shall have sprung up, and in it there shall be the first end. Verse 5. And in it a man shall be saved, and after it is ended unrighteousness shall grow up, and a law shall be made for the sinner. And after that, in the 3rd week, as it's close, a man shall be elected as the plant of righteous judgment, and his posterity shall become the plant of righteousness forevermore. Verse 6.
Hold that point. Hold that point. Hold that point. Hold that point. Read verse 5 again.
Verse 5 reads, and in it a man shall be saved, and it unrighteousness shall grow up, and a law shall be made for the sinner. And after death, in the 3rd week, as it's close, a man shall be elected as the plant of righteous judgment, and his posterity shall become the plant of righteousness forevermore.
Oh, that's big talk. A mother. Be up there, give me Hosea chapter 6, verse 1 and 2. That's big talk. You mean Enoch just dropped a bombshell on it will be somebody coming in around the 3rd week, and that 3rd week has a precept to that in Hosea chapter 6, verse 1 and 2. So you saying something supposed to happen in the 3rd. He said in the 3rd week. So we clear that that's a code word, the 3rd week, for Hosea chapter 6, verse 1 and 2. Can you help me out there, Mother D.F. Israel? Because this Bible right here, it reveals, remember, the title of the lesson is Unlocking Biblical Mysteries. And we got the first saying that biblical mysteries is all in this Bible. Now that 3rd week, he said something supposed to happen in the 3rd week. And what we're going to find out about the 3rd week is something in Hosea 6, verse 1 and 2. Can you help me out, Mother D.F. Israel? What do Hosea 6, 1 and 2 say?
Hosea chapter 6, verses 1 and 2. Verse 1, come and let us return unto Yahweh, for he has torn, and he will heal us. He has smitten, and he will bind us up. Verse 2. After 2 days will he revive us. In the 3rd day he will raise us up, and we shall live in his sight.
Oh, so that third week, he's going to start raising us up. And guess what? Mm-hmm. That's what we're in right now. Sit down. And what is he saying in verse 11? Make it plain in verse 11.
Oh, Hosea chapter 6, verse 11. Also, O Yahdah Judah, he has sit and harvest for thee when I return the captivity of my people.
Ain't that something? You mean that Bible is telling that from the 7th from Adam? Yeah, see, right? That's why we must come now. So what we're going to find out along the way, of finding out something, that Enoch prophesied about some things going to happen in the 3rd day. In the 3rd week, the 3rd day, one day with the Almighty, and 90 verse 4 is what? What is, read that, Mother D up Israel. What is one day with the Almighty? One day is Psalm 90 verse 4. Can you make it plain? Can you make it plain for this national audience over 400,000 plus? What is one day, one week? What does that mean that we can read in 90 verse 4 for the book of Psalms?
Okay. Okay. Goodness.
90 verse 4.
Okay, I'm getting it. Psalms chapter 90, verse 4 reads, "For 1,000 years in thy sight are but as yesterday, when it is spent, when it is past, and as a watch in the night."
Run to 3:9. Give me a little bit more on it. Go to 1 Peter 3:9. Give me a little bit more. I need a little bit more, mother. Because we own something, and it's got to unfold itself. So you really stumbled up on something. So run it. I need a little bit more. I can stand just a little bit more. And 2 Peter 3:9. Make it 2 Peter 3:9. I can stand a little bit more, mother.
All
right. 2 Peter 3:8. Make it 3:8. Make it 3:8. I can stand a little bit more. 3:8.
2 Peter 3:8. "But beloved, be not ignorant of this one thing, that one day is with Yahweh as 1,000 years, and 1,000 years as one day."
That's real nice. Real nice. Real nice. We know we owe a lot of people's head, but that's a good thing. But those that got ear to hear, to understand this thing, it's right on in their head. Come on back, Brother Micaiah. So we know Enoch is talking about a people that will get a waking up, and they'll come out to sleep in that third day. And a people have came out of sleep, because what they put on the table now, and with that one eye of faith, it don't move us no more. That we don't look for guidance through that one eye of faith. We look for guidance through the pages of the Bible. Now, come on back again.
The book of Enoch. The book of 1 Enoch, chapter 93, verse 6 down to 14. Verse 6 reads, "And after that, in the fourth week, at its close, visions of the righteous and righteous shall be seen, and a law for all generations, and an enclosure shall be made for them." Verse 7. "And after that, in the fifth week, at its close, the house of glory and dominion shall be built forever." Verse 8. "And after that, in the sixth week, all who live in it shall be blind, and the minds of all of them shall Yahwahlessly forsake wisdom, and in it a man shall ascend. And as it's close, the house of dominion shall be burnt with fire, and the whole race of the chosen group shall be dispersed." Verse 9. "And after that, in the seventh week, shall an apostate generation arise, and many shall be its deeds, and all its deeds shall be apostate."
Well, hold that point. Look up that word, for that word won't fall of apostate.
Okay.
Look that word up there, young lion. See what that word means, but we won't just gonna be just read. That we clear, we can be, that we trying to paint a picture. So look up that word called apostate, so we can be clear what that word means. Take your time there, young lion, apostate. But we don't want to just read something and don't know what's going on. You on the clock, come on.
Okay, I have in a Google Dictionary, apostate means online Google Dictionary. Apostate means a person who renounces a religious or political belief or principle.
So what do it mean again?
A person who renounces a religious or political belief or principle.
Uh-huh. So now, what he say, what's going to arise in these days right here, what the people of the book going to do? What they going to do? Now, look at this. This is Enoch, the seventh from heaven. What is he saying that a people going to do coming out of the loins, Enoch, all the way to Noah, all the way to Abraham, Isaac, and Israel? What they going to do again?
The book of Enoch, chapter 93, verse 9 reads, "And after that, in the seventh week, shall apostate, a group of people who renounces a religious or political belief or principles, generation arise, and many shall be its deeds, and all its deeds shall be apostate, a group of people who renounces a religious or political belief or principles."
All principle. What we want is principle. That means a people that are going to come from these loins of these people. Because the world was not given this understanding. But he say it will be a people that coming out the loins of Enoch, taking it down to Abraham, Isaac, and Israel. And they're going to back away from the principles standing of the Bible and start doing their own thing. Now you know what'll happen? Mother, let's see what'll happen to Mother D.F. Israel. Let's go to Luke chapter 4. What'll happen that we can read? See, this Bible right here, you know, it'll tell the story, but you got to listen to the one that's going to tell the story according to the scripture. Because remember, the title of the lesson is Unlocking Biblical Mystery. So what really will happen that we can read? In Luke chapter 4, verse number 20. No, just read verse 21. 4:21. Mother D. L. Take your time, and Mother D. F. Israel, and look right at the verse real carefully. Breathe in, then breathe out, then read 4:21. You on the clock? Come on.
Luke chapter 4, verse 21. "And he began to say unto them, This day is this scripture fulfilled in your ears."
Ain't that something? Did you hear what the man is saying?
Yeah.
We just broke down something that was said way back there on the seventh of Adam, the six anointed camps. Just broken down, showing you that we will have apostate. It's one going to break away from the principles of the Bible. And ain't that what they all did? And that what the majority of them did? So we clear about that. You're not going to hear it from that one I say. That one I say would never tell you that our people are going to break away from the Bible. They're going to tell you about everything we heard in the beginning of the broadcast. Trying to lure you away with the same thing, but it was prophesied that was to happen. Great. So that had been fulfilled in your ear on tape 114. Now come on, give me some more there. Give me some more, young lion. Give me some more in that verse where Enoch saying.
Okay. The book of Enoch, first Enoch, chapter 93, picking up at verse 10. Verse 10 reads, and at its end shall be elected. The elect righteous of the eternal plant of righteousness shall be chosen to receive sevenfold instruction concerning all his creation. Verse 11, for who is there of all the children of men that is able to hear the voice of the righteous one without being troubled? And who can think his thoughts? Who is there that can behold all the works of heaven? Verse 12. And how should there be one who could behold heaven? And who is there that could understand the things of heaven and see a soul or a spirit and could tell of it or sins and see all their ends and think them or do like them? Verse 13. And who is there of all men that could know what is the breadth and the length of the earth, and to whom has the measurement been shown of all of them? Verse 14. Or is there anyone who could discern the length of the heaven, and how great is its height, and on what it is founded, and how great is the number of the stars, and where all the luminaries rest?
Now, that's big talk. Now, see, it just time gonna get away from us in this lesson. Enoch is saying that the one that have instructed me through the mental spirit can tell you everything that you need to know. All you got to do obey is what's written in this book. Because who can tell you about this but this person? And the person we're talking about is the one that made the creation. So we just going to leave that like it is right now for time's sake. That's big talk with that. I love to really get into that. But Enoch is letting you know, just as this man told you, he told you, Mother Dear of Israel, he made it plain in 7:21. Look what he says in 2 Ezra 7:21. He made it plain, Mother Dear of Israel, in 2 Ezra 7:21. Read verse 20 just to get warmed up. 2 Ezra 7:20 and 21. What did he say?
2 Ezra chapter 20. I mean 2 Ezra chapter 7. Verse 20 and 21. Verse 20. For there be many that perish in this life because they despise the law of Yahweh that is set before them. 21. For Yahweh has given straight commandments to such as came what they should do to live even as they came, and what they should observe to avoid punishment.
You see that? He gave us straight Torah instruction, first five books. And telling you, he's making it plain, Mother Dear of Israel. Look what he said in the 49th chapter. No, 30th chapter of Isaiah. He says something in the 30th chapter of Isaiah that we need to read in verse number 20 and 21. He made it plain, Mother D.F. Israel, in Isaiah 30, verse 20 and 21. Let's see what he said that we can read.
Isaiah chapter 30, verses 20 and 21. Isaiah chapter 30, verse 20. And through Yahweh, and though Yahweh giveth you the bread of adversity and the water of affliction, yet shall not your teachers be removed into a corner anymore, but thine eyes shall see your teacher. 21. And thine ears shall hear a word behind thee, saying, this is the way, walk you in it. When you turn to the right hand, and when you turn to the left.
So it's going to be a misery going to tell you, this is the way.
Mm-hmm.
Don't turn to the left. Don't turn to the right. Stay right on course to a bored person. And a ministry is telling you that today, called the Six Anointed Camps of Voices of Truth. We make this claim that all these verses is full from the book of Enoch as we read. Enoch is one laying the same groundwork down, and they on and they pulling this from Enoch, and you got more camps to say not to read the book of Enoch because it's not given to you because your spirit ain't right. We can read them all and go read some more. Can't connect it. You want to kick it. Back to Brother Micaiah. Give me some more.
Okay, we're going to the book of Enoch. We're going to chapter 108, verses 1 through 14. Verse 1 reads.
Yeah.
Another book which Enoch wrote for his son Methuselah and for those who will come after him and keep the law in the last day. Verse 2.
Hold that point. Mm-hmm. Hold that point. Now, you see, that's the instructions that you have to pass to your offspring. You want to leave them, always leave them a piece of house and both eyes, a pocket full of money. No, Steve, are you? Lead them the knowledge they need to know to avoid that one out of faith. Enoch, they talked about, here's a man lived to be 969 years, he ain't done nothing. Man, that's one of the biggest lies ever told. Enoch is the one received the message from his father. Enoch is the one taught Abraham and Isaac. Shem, he taught Shem. And Shem taught Abraham. He taught Noah. And Noah, this thing was passed down. Methuselah was around even when Noah was around. He was around when Shem was around. He lived to pass this message right on down as it got to us today. We know the order of this thing. So you looking at Methuselah physically ain't done nothing. Yes, he did. He receiving the information that Enoch received from the ministry spirit first that got from Yahweh the Son and Yahweh the Father. And he was there to sit everybody down, and he lived long enough to be able to show even Shem the word of Yahweh.
Mm-hmm.
You see, that's the greatest legacy you can leave with your offspring, the word of Yahweh. That's what Methuselah did. He had the books, and now you read where he got the books from. And Enoch received it, gave him, and sent him down and got Methuselah right. And this is supposed to be the oldest man on record living 969 years. So Yahweh is in control of this thing. We just don't see none because we study being a kryptonite by that one eye faith. Mm-hmm. We watch that one eye faith and get all confused. We'll break rank. In fact, we're going to learn more about breaking rank. You out of order, Israel. Mm-hmm. That's verse 1. Now, what verse 2 say? Verse 2. 108, verse 2.
The book of Enoch, chapter 108, verse 2. Verse 2 reads, "You who have done good shall wait for those days until an end is made of those who work evil and an end of the power of the wrongdoers."
Hold that point. Right there. Mm-hmm. Hold that point. Now, I got to get one at a time. I got to get a little bit of this. He said, "You that have done good." What are you talking about, most dear of Israel? How do you do good? Let's go to Matthew chapter 19, verse 16 and 17, dealt with Romans 7, verse 12. He says, read that verse again while mother are getting them verses already. Read that verse again in Enoch 108, verse 2.
Okay, the book of Enoch, chapter 108, verse 2. Verse 2 reads, "You who have done good shall wait for those days until an end is made of those who work evil and an end of the power of the wrongdoers."
You see that? So the wrongdoers got an end coming. But if you have done good, you got something coming too. But those that do good, what do you mean by doing good? Mother Dear of Israel. Matthew chapter 19, 16 and 17, backed up with Romans chapter 7, verse 12. How do you do good that we can read? Come on.
Matthew chapter 19, verse 16 and 17. Verse 16. And behold, one came and said unto him, Good master, what good thing shall I do that I might have eternal life? Verse 17. And he said unto him, Why callest thou me good? There is none good but one, that is Yahweh the Father. But if thou wilt enter into life, keep the commandments.
Ain't that something? Ain't that something? 7 verse 12 of Romans. So you see, Enoch is talking about those that wait and do good. That means hold on to the commandments, the law, the first five books, that even before that, even the writings of Enoch had it before Moses wrote the first five books. Moses was reporting on everybody did anyway. Moses reporting about what Enoch. Enoch already had the record passed down through the bloodline, getting Noah. So if you're going to do good and not when a brother or sister tell you, well, what's going on? Oh, I'm good. Well, how you good and you don't keep no Sabbath day or wear no fringes? Are you sitting there watching that one-hour Satan eating popcorn? You ain't being good. But what you doing? I'm eating popcorn watching that one-hour Satan. Then you ain't doing good. If you eat popcorn inside this book, then you doing good. So you got to watch the people that when you call them and you check out, tell them, turn that one-hour Satan down to communicate with them. Because then you know right then and there, they being programmed through that one-hour Satan. And they got the invaders and everybody sitting there on the couch watching that one-hour Satan and everybody getting programmed with kryptonite in them. And that's what's going on. See, you got to watch these things in time to come. Because they're going to come before you. That's why we're getting our act together with the land, school, banquet hall, land, the foundation. Because we got to get prepared because the overflow is going to blow. So we got to tell them the right things.
Mm-hmm.
That's all we're saying. Huh? We got to make sure we're saying the right thing. If we call your house and you still there watching that one hour say, and where your baby's at, what if we all watching that one hour say, we know we got work to do.
Mm-hmm.
We know we got work to do. We got to get away from that one hour say. That one hour say ain't going to never tell you what you're hearing now.
Mm-hmm.
Come on, mother. You got that 712, mother?
Yeah.
Romans. Come on.
Chapter 7, verse 12. Wherefore, the law is righteous, and the commandment righteous, and just and good.
You mean Paul got that, where did Paul get that just and good from? Huh? How mother, where did he get it from? The book of Enoch. He got from Enoch. Enoch telling you right now. The one that's good and good is keeping the Torah instruction before he was a Moses. This is a seven from Adam telling you about being good. He's telling Enoch to be good. And how Enoch being good? Keep the Torah instruction and pass it on. That's how I got down to Noah. That's how I got down to Noah being a perfect man. Those them sending him down and working him over. That's what's going on here. Take that picture. Come on back there, Brother Mackay, give me verse 3. Let's see what's in verse 3.
The book of Enoch, chapter 108, verse 3. Verse 3 reads, And wait until sin has passed away indeed, for their names shall be blotted out of the book of life and out of the righteous book, and their children's seed shall be destroyed forever, and their spirit shall be killed. And they shall cry and lament in a place that is a chaotic desert. And they shall be burnt in the fire, for there is no earth there.
You mean Enoch is letting you know off the top, if you ain't being good, your outcome, you're going to be burnt in the fire. Enoch is telling you right now, if you ain't good, and good is keeping the Torah instructions and obeying anointed leadership, if you ain't being good that way, you're going to be burnt in the fire even from the seven from Adam. And that is what's in verse 3. So you see, when a person say, I'm good, okay, you good. But I tell you one thing, you ain't keeping no Torah instructions, you watching that one out saying eating popcorn and drinking a Pepsi. Huh? You ain't being good, being deprogrammed, and you got kryptonite all over you. You'll be all over the place. So there it is right there, Steve, right here. Right before your eyes. Verse 4.
Verse 4 reads, I saw something there like an invisible cloud, because it was so deep I could not look over it. And I saw a flame of fire blazing bright, and things like shiny mountains circling and sweeping back and forth. Verse 5. And I asked one of the righteous spirits who was with me and said to him, what is this bright thing shining? For it is not heaven, but there was only the flame of a blazing fire, and the voice of weeping and crying and moaning and lamenting and agony. Verse 6. And he said to me, this place which you see are where the spirits of sinners and blasphemers and of those who work wickedness are cast, and the spirits of those who pervert everything that Yahweh has spoken through the mouth of the seer and the prophet, and even the prophet, saying that shall be. Verse 7.
Ain't that for something? Hold that point. Ain't that something? Hold that point. Ain't that something? That's the comfort you get that. You mean Enoch is telling you about something that Isaiah pulled in 66:24? My dear, you mean Enoch is talking about something Isaiah wrote in 66:24? What did he write that we can read in 66:24? Enoch is telling. See, you know the reason why they don't want to read the book of Enoch? Because they ain't got the right spirit. How you gonna connect the books unless you sit in the right ministry? You don't go to the store and buy everything you see in the store. You buy what you need. We in the book of Enoch getting what we need out of it. Now, Enoch talked about the lake of fire on earth right there. Now, Isaiah said, pull that verse in 66:24. Bring it, Moses, yes, Israel.
Isaiah chapter 66:24. And they shall go forth and look upon the carcasses of the men that have transgressed against me. For their worms shall not die, neither shall their fire be quenched, and they shall be an abhorrence unto all flesh.
You mean that all Isaiah doing is quoting Enoch? Yes, see right here. He quoting Enoch about the lake of fire, those that don't want to be good. So you think you can keep on letting your personal feeling get in the way and you don't be good by keeping the Torah instructions, keeping them Sabbath days, eyeball to eyeball, them fringes on, not being good, and think you're going to make it in the kingdom? Yes. You're going to be in the kingdom of the fire. And data's right there. Now, we're going to precept that, Mother D.F. Israel, in the ninth chapter, pick it verse 42, Amar. And we're going to read that. See, listen, tell you something. We come on this, we come here to tell you it's time for us to get good. Because what Enoch wrote, they didn't just pull a rabbit out of the hat when Isaiah wrote it, and they not pulling a rabbit out of the hat when Yahweh the Son has got Mark writing. But look what Mark wrote in 9:42 down to verse 50.
Mark chapter 9, verse 42 to 50.
Verse 42.
And whosoever shall offend one of these little ones that believe in me, it is better for him that a millstone were hung about his neck and he were cast into the sea. Verse 43. And if thou hand offend thee, cut it off. It is better for thee to enter into life maimed than having two hands to go into hell, into the fire that never shall be quenched. 44. Where their worm dieth not, and the fire is not quenched. 45. And if thy foot offend thee, cut it off. It is better for thee to enter halt into life than having two feet to be cast into hell, into the fire that never shall quench. 46. Where their worm dies not, and the fire is not quenched. 47. And if thine eye offend thee, pluck it out. It is better for thee to enter into the kingdom of Yahuwah with one eye than having two eyes to be cast into hell fire. 48. Where their worm dies not, and the fire is not quenched. 49. For everyone shall be salted with fire, and every sacrifice shall be salted with salt. Verse 50. Salt is good, but if the salt has lost its saltiness, wherewith will you season it? Have salt in yourself, and have peace one with the other.
You're right. You have peace one to another, but if you a hellraiser, you ain't got nothing coming. You gotta have peace one to another. You gotta be good. You gotta have peace one to another. So if you had a conversation, I don't think you hear from the one that you're talking to, a number of the hellraising on their mind, then you have to get away from that. So you see the end of it. So you see how important this book is. They all is quoting Enoch.
Mm-hmm.
And this is the book that everybody thumps at and say that book is, that's a made-up book. Listen, you know why you say that? Because you don't have the spirit of Yahuwah to go ahead and get what you need out of it. We ain't got no problem with it. And we shooting this from from the spirit of Yahuwah. So, understand one thing, see, right? We got to know what to do in a time of point, because it's going to happen as we stretch out north, east, southwest of the temple of Yahuwah, and all these lands is put in our hands, and we prepared ourselves to fence it in. We got 2 months to be clear that the right side is going to be flattened, and we got to move quickly, and we got to be prepared to put down on it, get a payment plan, and be prepared to get our congregation right,
mm-hmm.
because everybody's doing what they got to do,
mm-hmm.
and we got to do it for everyone out of Satan, and we mm-hmm. telling you what we got to do before it happened to you. We tell you up front. You gotta be in pain and live for this thing here. Cause Yahuwah gonna intervene if you be good. And now you know what good is. It's understanding that Enoch is writing the seven from heaven, and everybody in the Bible is quoting Enoch right now. Read some more on Enoch, what he say?
Okay, the book of Enoch. The book of Enoch, chapter 108, verse 3. Verse 3 reads, and wait until sin has passed away. Verse 3 reads, and wait until sin has passed away indeed, for their name shall be blotted out of the book of life and out of the righteous book. And their children, seed, shall be destroyed forever, and their spirits shall be killed. And they shall cry and lament in a place that is chaotic desert. And they shall be...
Right now, we don't found... Well, hold that point. Hold that point. We don't found that out, but Mother said, you read that already. We just got to clear that up. Isaiah 56:24. And we just got to clear that up in Mark. So we threw it that verse. So now we need another verse on the table there, young line. Come on.
Yeah, verse 7.
We got an hour on you now. Yeah, come on. Yeah, girl, that's right, Mother. Get down the way you got to get you. Don't get caught up in the lesson. Stick with us there, young line.
The book of Enoch, chapter 108, verse 7. Verse 7 reads, for some of them are written and inscribed above in heaven, in order the angels may read them and know that which shall befall the sinners, and the spirits of the humble, and of those which are afflicted, their bodies in being recompensed by Yahuwah, and of those who have been
The WCC saying, my dear Israel, we don't like the way this is going. So what we're going to do, we're going to mute the young lion. So, my dear Israel, it looks like you have to pick up what a young lion that father, because WCC said we're going to mute him because we don't like the way it's going. That's what they saying.
Okay.
So pick it up at verse number 7. Because young lion will be mute for the rest of the broadcast, according to the WCC. Go ahead.
Enoch 108, verse 7. For some of them are written and inscribed above in heaven, in order that the angel may read them and know that which shall befall the sinner, and the spirit of the humble, and of those who have afflicted their body, and been recompensed by Yahuwah, and of those who have been abused, put to shame by wicked men. Verse 8, who love Yahuwah and love neither gold nor silver, nor any of the good things which are in the world, but gave over their bodies to torture. Okay. I'm trying to turn. Verse 9.
So, let me get it for a minute. We got a lot of time to talk for a minute. So he's saying those that going to understand what the bigger picture is. And we're going to find out, do you understand the bigger picture, when we're going to say it, what we got to do is get prepared for the next 2 months. The next 2 months, the right side going to be towed out. That means we have to be able to put something down and get a payment on it and fence all that in and corner up everything to get prepared for what they got on the table. We're going to find out who is about this Bible of Yahuwah or they about the world. We'll find out within the next 2 months what they are. He put all the land before us, land straight ahead, to your left, to your right, and behind you. They say, we'll combine all that together and give you a payment plan. What you're going to do in 2 months, we'll see. Listen, a wise seer will instruct his people. We must put our brick down in the earth. We must, because sooner or later, you'll go and get a tomato, and tomato might cost you $20. But if you walk in on Yahweh's business, you have a whole garden everywhere, and you can get it for nothing. Just be part of the Yahweh's business. You go in the garden, get what you need, because he say his servants going to eat. Yahweh is the best of planters, and he put it before us. We know we love the word, but what about the deeds? Okay? What about the deeds? We'll find out when the time appointed in 2 months. Who is ready to say, okay, we see it coming down, and we're ready to fence it up and get busy to be 5 steps ahead of the wicked one. They're going to find out. What verse are you on now, Mo?
Verse 9.
Okay, go ahead.
Who says they were born? Long not after earthly food, but regarded everything as a passing breath and life accordingly. And Yahweh tries them much, and their spirit was found pure, so that they should bless his name. Verse 10, and all the blessings destined for them I have recounted in the book, and he has assigned them their reward, because they have been found to love heaven more than their life in the world. And though they were trodden underfoot by wicked men, and experience abuse and reveling them from them, and were put to shame, they blessed me. Verse 11. And now I will summon the spirit of the good who belongs to the generation of light, and I will transform those who were born in darkness, who in the flesh were not rewarded with such honor as their faithfulness deserved. Verse 12. And I will bring out in shining light those who have loved my righteous name, and I will set each on the throne of his honor. 13. And they shall shine for time without end, for righteousness is the judgment of Yahweh. Because to the faithful he will give faithfulness in the inhabitation of upright path. 14. And they shall see those who were born in darkness, led into darkness, while the righteous shall shine, and the sinner shall cry aloud and see them shining. And they indeed will go where days and seasons are written down, prescribed for them.
That,
hallelujah.
That big talk he said. You hear what he's not just saying? He said something to you. He said, look here. You want to remain in the, you can remain in the, give me a verse over there in Proverbs 21:16. It's up to you. Proverbs 21:16. Now hold up. Well, hold up. Before you read Proverbs 21:16, let's touch on Enoch, verse 12 and 9 one more time. Then we'll read Proverbs 21:16. He's talking, Enoch is the one that sets the foundation everybody talking today. See, we did not know that all the Bible is basically is quoting Enoch. So look at verse 12 one more time. Enoch 108, verse 12. One more time. What did it say?
Enoch chapter 12. I mean, Enoch chapter 108, verse 12. And I will bring out in shining light those who have loved my righteous name. And I will set each on the throne of his honor.
You see that? That's why we don't compromise the name. He said, we don't compromise the name on no broadcast. We know the world is slow because you ain't keeping Torah instructions. But one thing we ain't going to compromise is the name. Because we find out plainly that the one that loves the name going to fill the throne. Is that what we're reading in verse 12?
That's what we're reading.
If you love the name, you already know. If we read that, what will happen if you love the name?
Yes. You want me to read again?
Now, read verse 9. So you hear what the man is saying. Verse 9.
Verse 9. He's not 108, verse 9. Verse 9. Who since they were born, long not after earthly food, but regardeth everything as a passing breath, and live accordingly, and Yahweh tried them much, and their spirit were found pure, so that they should bless his name.
Ain't that something? So Yahweh gonna try you and see if you gonna stay on that name, stay on and be a doer of his word. He gonna try you, see, right? And that's what's going on right now. See, he's trying you now, but he done everything. All you gotta do is follow his lead. He got an order about things, and that's why he done did what he did. We know the world, the wicked, I'm done what they supposed to do. And Yahweh saying, okay, fine. The only reason the wicked doing what they supposed to do, because you don't want to do what you supposed to do. Now, a minute you do what you supposed to do, I'm going to take care of the wicked. That's why he done did what he done did. He done put the temple site on four sides. There ain't nothing going to be there. And all we got to do is label and make sure we're prepared to do what we got to do. And then what we do, the same thing Moses did. He told him, come on in and watch death pass over. Come on in and watch death pass over. But you got to love the name. And then he made it plain in the book of Malachi 3:16. So now we're seeing now where Malachi even pulled that verse. He said, you got to love the name. Enoch said, you got to love the name. The four letters. Then Malachi pulled that in 3:16 through 18. And showing you the benefits of it, but coming from the writing of Enoch. Malachi 3:16-18, bring it.
Malachi chapter 3, verse 16 through 18. Verse 16. Then they that fear Yahweh spoke often one to another, and Yahweh hearkened. He listened and heard it. And a book of remembrance was written before him for them that feared Yahweh and that thought upon his name. 17. And they shall be mine, says Yahweh of hosts, in that day when I make up my jewels, and I will spare them as a man spares his own son that serve him. verse 18. Then shall you return and discern between the righteous and the wicked, between him that serve Yahweh and him that serve him not.
Uh-huh. Must be up Israel. Where did Malachi pull that from?
Enoch, chapter 108.
You see what's going on here? You see what's going on, Mother D up Israel? This
yeah.
right here, Malachi is the foundation for everybody. They just don't know how to go into it. They don't know how to go into it now after they hear voices of the sixth anointing calf. Now they're going to go into it, but they don't make no difference. You can go into it, but this is what you're going to run into. You're going to run into Acts 19. I'm going to show what you're going to run into. See, you think you just get up in here and say Luke chapter 12, verse 12, and you think you just can, because you hear us throwing this thing down the sixth anointing camp, you think you can jump up there and do it yourself, huh? We'll find out. Let's run to it, Acts chapter 19, and we'll find out, can you just do, because you hearing us on the network 6 nights a week. Let's see what he got written for you to think so. We go on and read Acts 19, pick it verse 13.
Okay. Acts chapter 19, 13 to 16, verse 13.
Mm-hmm.
Then certain of the vagabond Judah took upon them to call over them which had evil spirit the name of Yahweh the Son, saying, we adjure you by Yahweh the Son, whom Paul preaches. Verse 14. And there were seven sons of one S.
Sceva of Yahdah. Go ahead.
And chief of the priests, which did so. 15. And
yeah.
the evil spirit answered and said, Yahweh the Son I know, and Paul I know, but who are you? Verse 16. And the man in whom the evil spirit was leaping on them and overcame them and prevailed against them so that they fled out of that house naked and wounded.
You see that? So you see, you think you just jump down and because you own the network, you're not going to be able to do this right here. You're going to be disembobulated because you got it written in Psalm 111, verse 10. The only way you're going to understand what we're doing, you got to be a Psalm 111, verse 10. You think you just jump down because you hear us on the network and pull scriptures from all angles of every book, and you think you just gonna do it because you heard the lesson? No, Yahweh gonna dumbfound you because you ain't got no 111 verse 10 in you. Psalm 111 verse 10 says what?
Psalms 111 verse 10. The fear of Yahweh is the beginning of wisdom. A good understanding have all they that do his Torah instruct, his commandments. His praises endures forever.
You see that? So if you're not keeping the Torah instruction, you can be on this network 400,000 plus all you want. You're not keeping the Torah instruction, you ain't stepping to the plate and being about Yahweh's business. Are you on the radio for amusement and to listen for a deep breakdown? But here goes a deep breakdown. Let's see what you do with this deep breakdown right here. 2 Enoch 45 verse 1. Now here goes another. Here goes a deep breakdown right here. You love the deep breakdowns, right? But what about this deep breakdown right here in in 2 Enoch 45, verse 1. Here go a deep breakdown right here.
Okay. 2 Enoch chapter 45, verse 1.
Yeah.
Whosoever hurries to make offering before Yahweh's face, Yahweh will hasten that offering by giving of his works.
You see that? He said now, he said you love a deep breakdown, but when you going to hasten to give the offering for the land, school, and banquet hall? Now that's when your alligator arms, that's when the amnesia come in. He said, the one that hastens to make an offering on what we got to do, that's the part you catch the amnesia on. But the part of the deep breakdowns of Enoch and tied it in with Malachi, you get all battle glasses on that. But what about this right here? What about this 45, verse number 1? See, this is where the amnesia kick in at. That's why I'm going to remember that in time to come. Let's go to Deuteronomy chapter 8, verse 11. Deuteronomy chapter 8, verse 11, 17 down to verse 19. So what we're trying to tell you, Steve, right here, you're going to have to eat this whole roll. And we'll show you what we're talking about shortly. We're going to 2 Enoch, I mean Deuteronomy 8, verse 11, 17 through 19. What did it say that, Mother dear, up Israel? You, it's that and tall.
Okay. Deuteronomy chapter 8, verse 11, 17 to 19. That's what you say?
That's right.
Okay. Deuteronomy chapter 8, verse 11. Beware that thou forgettest not Yahweh, your Yahweh, and not keeping his Torah instruction and his judgment and his statute, which I command thee this day, verse 17. And thou say in thine mind, my power and my might of my hand has gotten me this wealth, verse 18. But thou shalt remember Yahweh, your Yahweh, for it is he that giveth thee power to get wealth, that he may establish his covenant, which he swore unto your father, as it is this day.
Mm-hmm.
Verse 19.
And, right. So he said, Yahweh is the one that gives you the power to get wealth, to lead, to have your utilities ready to go to hear the six anointed camp show of Voice of the True Israelites. But when it comes down to stepping to the plate, that there goes dead. Now here comes your amnesia. That's the breakdown. Mm-hmm. You ignore that breakdown, but you love the breakdown. We're getting ready to hear that. We get ready to show you some more breakdown. Let's see what James says in the 2 chapter, verse 20-26. Let's look at James first. James chapter 2, verse 20-26. Let's see what Yahweh the Son's brother says in James 2, verse 20 down to verse 26. What do you say that, Mother dear, up Israel?
James chapter 2, verse 20 to 26. Verse 20. But wilt thou now, O vain man, that faith without works is dead? I mean, let me read that again. James 2:20. But wilt thou knowest, O vain man, that faith without work is dead? 21. Was not Abraham our father justified by works when he had offered Isaac his son upon the altar? 22. Seest thou how faith wrought with his work, and by works was faith made perfect. 23. And the scripture was fulfilled, which say, Abraham, being, I'm trying to pass, being, believed Yahweh, and it was imputed unto him for righteousness, and he was called the friend of Yahweh. 24. You see then how that by works a man is justified and not by faith only. 25. Likewise also was not Rahab the harlot justified by works when she had received the messenger and had sent them out another way. 26. For as the body without the spirit is dead, so faith without works is dead also.
See that? So faith without works is dead also. So you got to have some work with this this good belief you got. Oh, I believe, yeah, okay, but where your works at? You can't deal with one without the other. You got to have the faith and the works. So if you ain't got both, you're just wasting your time. Let's go to Jubilees chapter 1. We're going to Jubilees chapter 1, and we'll look at 5 down in verse 18. Let's see what we can get out of there. Book of Jubilees. Chapter 1, verse 5 to 18. So here's the point. Faith without works is dead. You love to break down. Oh, look at the six anointed camps. They're breaking it down. Oh, look at all the precepts they're pulling. Yeah. But what about the works? We're going to find out will you be over there in the garden turn over something, or will we find out would you be hitting that PayPal and sending of the funding and to make sure that you have done your works and time to come. Huh? We're going to find out what you made of shortly.
What's
the reason that mother dear Israel? Jubilee chapter 1, 5 down to verse 18. Jubilee chapter 1, verse 5 to 18. What does it say?
Okay, let me see if I'm in the right one. Jubilees, chapter 1.
Verse 5 to 18.
I'm trying to find the verse. Okay, Jubilees, chapter 1, verses 5 to 18. That's what I'm trying to find. Okay, verse 5. And he said, incline your mind to every word which I will speak to you on this mount, and write them in a book in order that their generation might see how I have not forsaken them for all the evil which they have wrought in transgression. The covenant, trespassing, transgressing the covenant, which I established between me and you for their generation, this day on Mount Sinai. And thus it will come to pass when all these things come upon them, they will reconsider that I am more righteous than they in all their judgments and in all their actions, and they will, recognize that I have been truly with them. That was verse 7. And do you write for yourself all these words which I declare unto you this day, for I know their rebellion and their stiff neck. before I bring them into the land of which I swore to their fathers, to Abraham and to Isaac and to Israel, saying, unto your seed will I give a land flowing with milk and honey. Verse 8. And they will eat and be satisfied, and they will turn to strange Yahuwahs which cannot deliver them from anguish, I think, of their tribulation. This is still in verse 8. And this witness shall be heard for a witness against them. Verse 9. What you told me to read to?
Straight on down 18. Keep going.
Oh, 18. Okay. So I'm in the right place. Okay. 9. For they will forget all my commandments, even all that I command them, and they will walk after the Gentiles and after their uncleanness and after their shame, and will serve their false Yahuwah. And these will prove unto them an offense and a tribulation and a affliction and a snare. And many will perish, and they will be taken captive and will fall into the hands of the enemy, because they have forsaken my ordinance and my commandments and the festival, the feast of my covenant and my Sabbath and my righteous place, which I have hallowed for myself in their midst, and my tabernacle and my sanctuary, which I have hallowed for myself in the midst of the land, that I should set my name upon it, and that it should dwell there. Verse 11. And they will make to themselves high places and groves and graven images, and they will worship each his own graven image, so as to go astray. And they will sacrifice their children to demons and to all the works of the error of their mind. Verse 12. And I will send a witness unto them, that I may witness against them, but they will not hear, and will slay the witnesses also, and they will persecute those who seek the law, and they will bargain and change everything so as to work evil before my eyes. 13. And I shall hide my face from them, and I shall deliver them into the hands of the Gentiles for captives and for a prey and for devouring, and I shall remove them from the midst of the land, and I shall scatter them among the Gentiles. 14. And they will forget all my law and all my commandments and all my judgments, and will go astray as a new moon. And let's see. That was, I got to go to what change. Okay. Okay. Verse 4, that was 14. The Sabbath and the feast and jubilee and ordinance. 15. And after this, they will turn to me from among Gentiles with all their heart, mind, and with all their soul, and with all their strength. And I shall gather them from among all the Gentiles, and they will seek me, so that I shall be found of them. When they seek me with all their mind and with all their soul, and I shall disclose to them abundance, peace with righteousness, and I shall plant them as a planter of righteousness in their land with all my mind and with all my soul, and they will be for a blessing and not for a curse. And they will be the head and not the tail. 17. And I shall build my sanctuary in their midst, and I shall dwell with them, and I shall be their Yahweh, and they will be my people in truth and righteousness. 18. And I shall not forsake them nor fail them, for I am Yahweh, their Yahweh.
Now, Lord David, dear Israel. Now, he never learned that from that one I say. Now, we know the first part have been accomplished. He's going to scatter them. They're going to forget everything. They have forgot everything. But now he said, if now, you are, that part has been fulfilled. Right now, you forgot everything. You don't know who you are. You don't want to wear no fringes. You don't want to keep no feast day, no Sabbath day. You don't done all that. But Yahweh still got the olive branch out for you. He said, okay. Then I'm going to send a minister to you to put these things out to you. Now, you have made the contrary move to Yahweh. Now, he's telling you right now, the door is open for you to turn to him, but you got to seek him the way you had been hearing and reading in the Bible. So now you got to come clean with yourself.
Wow.
Are you going to continue to do what you're doing, or are you going to look at this tape for 114 and make adjustment according to 114? Let's go to Jubilee 23, pick up at verse 10. He ain't through. Take it down to verse 21. We got a couple of groupings left in here. Let's go back. Now, this is, he's telling Moses, he's talking to Moses now. He's telling Moses about exactly what's going to happen to these peoples before you even bring them out of Egypt. Exactly what's going to happen to them up the road. And that prophecy has been filled now. You forgot everything. But now here's a ministry to show you. Come. Jubilee 23, pick up verse 10 down to verse 21. What does it say?
Okay, let me see if I got it right. 23.
Jubilee 23. Verse 10 down to verse 20. So we come into you humble, but you love a deep breakdown. But this is what the man is saying. You want him in the vein? The land's before you. What day you'll come roll your sleeves up and get prepared for what's on the table to make it happen for Yahweh to intervene? Jubilee chapter 23. Verse 10 to 21. Listen good.
Okay. Jubilee 23, verse 10 to 21. Verse 10. For Abraham was perfect in all his deeds. Am I right? Am I at the right place?
Yeah. You're doing
Okay. With Yahweh. And well-pleasing in righteousness all the days of his life, and behold, he did not complain did not complete for Jubilee in his life. When he had grown old.
Stop it there. Hold that point. Let me break that down. Sit you down. He said he didn't complain or nothing like that, but he didn't complete four jubilees. You know, a jubilee is 50 years. He said, Abraham, with all the good stuff he didn't make it to 200 years. Abraham died at 175 years old.
Mm-hmm.
So that's how Yahweh prays. A jubilee is 50 years. Abraham lived to be 175 years old. He said he did not complete four jubilees, but he did not complain. He took care of my business.
Mm-hmm.
See? So, see, Roy, you see what I'm saying something? Murmuring, backbiting, complaining. You're not following Abraham, Isaac, and Israel, and he didn't complete four jubilees. A jubilee is 50 years. He lived to be 175 years old. Now, Moses is giving the report to the wicked murmurers, complainers, and backbiting Israelites. Come on.
Okay. When he had grown old by reason of the wickedness and was full of days, verse 11, and all the generation which was arise from this time until the day of the great judgment will grow old quickly before they complete two jubilees, and their knowledge will force.
Wait a minute. He said, look here, my man Abraham, he didn't complete four jubilees, but he said, now, I'm so mad at y'all, you ain't going to get two jubilees out. You see what the man I'm saying? The man said, I'm not going to allow you to get two jubilees out. Since Abraham got three and a half, you ain't going to be making the two now. That's how bad he is with you, Israel. Because you walk in that one out of Satan, you're not stepping to the plate and doing what you was appointed to do. It's prepared a way for those that are coming after you. It ain't about you. It's about preparing a way for those that are coming after you. Get them out of that one out of Satan. Understand one thing. Land, school, banquet hall, our own garden, our own. But Yahweh give us a double. We're going to see who's going to drag their feet on taking care of their business to come. Is that what he's saying? Keep reading.
And their knowledge will forsake them by reason of their old age, and all their knowledge will vanish away. Verse 12. And in those days, if a man live a jubilee in a half of year, 74 they say, okay, they will say regarding him, he has lived long, and a greater part of his days are pain and sorrow and tribulation, and there is no peace. Verse 13.
Hold that point. He said, if you mess around and live to be a jubilee and a half, that's like 75 years
74.
old. If you ain't got me right, because jubilees is 50 years, a half of jubilees is 25 years. So he said, but if you ain't got me right, all you gonna be in agony and pain. He said, I might let you live just to be in agony and pain. Why? Because you don't want to get me right. He said, yeah, you got some little past a jubilee and a half, but boy, they got more trouble everywhere. They got trouble everywhere. If they get out the bed, they hurt. They get in the bed, they hurt. They raise their hand up, they hurt. They sit down, they hurt. Everywhere they go, they hurt. And that was Yahweh saying right there. So if you do make it past that, you ain't going to be nothing but a ball of confusion.
Verse 13. For calamity follows on calamity, and wound on wound, and tribulation on tribulation, and evil tidings on evil tidings, and illness on illness, and all evil judgments such as these one with another, illness and overthrows and snow and frost and ice and fever and chills and I don't know that word. Teeth and famine and death and sword and captivity and all kinds of calamities and pain. Verse 14. And all these will come on an evil generation which transgress on the earth. Their works are uncleanness and fornication and pollution and abomination. 15. Then they will say, the days of the forefathers were many, unto 1,000 years, and were good. But behold, the days of our life, if a man has lived many, are 70 years. And if he is strong, 80 years. And those evil, and there is no peace in the days of this evil generation. Verse 16. And in that generation, the sons will convince their fathers and their elders to sin and unrighteousness and of the words of their mouth and the great wickedness which they perpetuate and concerning their forsaking the covenant which Yahweh made between them and him, that they should observe and do all his commandments and his ordinance and all his laws without departing either to the right hand or to the left. Verse 17, for all have done evil, and every mouth speaketh sin, iniquity, and all their works are an uncleanness and an abomination, and all their ways are polluted, uncleanness and destruction. You said go to
18.
21. 18. That was
18. 18. Yeah, what
18
say?
Okay. Man, 18. That was 17. So the next page. Okay, 18. Okay,
18 down 21.
Okay. Verse 18. Behold, the earth will be destroyed on account of all their works, and there will be no seed of the vine and no oil for their works are altogether faithless, and they will all perish together, beasts and cattle and birds and all the fishes of the sea, on account of the children of men. 19, and they will strive one with another, the young with the old, and the old with the young, the poor with the rich, and the lowly with the great, and the beggar with the prince, on account of the law and the covenant, for they have forgotten commandments. Commandments and covenant and feasts and months and Sabbaths and Jubilee and all the judgments, 20, and they will stand with bows and swords and war to turn them back unto the way. But they will not return until much blood has been shed on the earth, one by one. Verse 21. And these and those who have escaped will not return from their wickedness to the way of righteousness, but they will all exalt themselves to the decree of and wealth, deceit and wealth, that they may each take all that is his neighbor. And they will name the great name, but not in truth and not in righteousness. And they will defile the righteous of righteous with their uncleanness and the corruption of their pollution.
Mm-hmm. So they're going to defile the great name. They're doing it right now, ain't they, Most Deep Israel?
And yes, they are.
So right there, you mean they defiling the great name. Moses will tell you about exactly what they're doing. They're not keeping nothing on the table. So everything is coming to pass by connecting these books on saying exactly what they're going to do in Moses' days, and they're doing it right now in our days.
That's
right. Running. Well, time we're going to run out there, Most Deep Israel. Let's see if we run and see. Now, Isaiah was told some good stuff, and we're going to find out what he was said that what we got to do. Now, we don't heard enough of that, so let's go to Isaiah 51. We're going to Isaiah 51, 3 down to verse 7. Let's see what we can read out of Isaiah and leave you some hope on the table. But all the hope you got to understand on the table, you got to come back and be not only a hearer of the word, you got to be a doer of this word.
Yes.
Isaiah 51, 3 down to verse 7. What does it say?
Isaiah 51, verse 3 to 7. Isaiah 51, verse 3. For Yahweh shall comfort Yahdah Judah. He will comfort all her waste place, and he will make her wilderness like Eden, and her desert like the garden of Yahweh. Joy and gladness shall be found therein. Thanksgiving and the voice of melody. Verse 4. Hearken unto me, my people, and give ear unto me, O my nation, for a law shall proceed from me, and I will make my judgment to rest for a light of the people. Verse 5. My righteousness is near, my salvation is gone forth, and my arm shall judge the people. The isle shall wait upon me, and on my arm shall they trust. Verse 6. Lift up your eyes to the heaven and look upon the earth beneath, for the heavens shall vanish away like smoke, and the earth shall wax old like a garment, and they that dwell therein shall die in like manner. But my salvation shall be forever, and my righteousness shall not be abolished. Verse 7.
You hear the man saying, the man get down in 9 through 12. So he tell you, listen, he says it's up to you. Either you will come back and get in where you fit in at and be good by keeping the Torah instructions and be part of this for those to come after you, or you will still on the sideline and just listen to the breakdown of what's going on. Get down to 9 through 12, what it say?
Isaiah 51, verse 9 to 12, verse 9. Awake, awake, put on strength, O arms of Yahuwah. Awake as in the ancient days, in the generation of old. Art thou not it that has cut Rahab and wounded the dragon? Verse 10. Art thou not it which has dried the sea, the waters of the great deep, that has made the depth of the sea a way for the ransom to pass over? Verse 11. Therefore the redeemed of Yahuwah shall return and come with singing unto Yahdah, and everlasting joy shall be upon their head. They shall obtain gladness and joy, and sorrow and mourning shall flee away. Verse 12. I am he that come forth, comfort you. Who art thou shouldest be afraid of a man that shall die, and of the son of man?
Mm-hmm.
Of the son of man, which shall be made as grass. Mm-hmm.
He said, why are you afraid of man that I'm going to kill this man? It's when y'all get yourself right, I'm going to kill this man. You see, and he's telling you, you don't know what's prepared for you. Eyes have not seen what's prepared for you.
Mm-hmm.
And you will not go all out on what's to come. You worry about me and mine now. The man said, I am he in Isaiah day. Now, who said that I am he? Who said that? Go to 9th chapter, St. John chapter 1. Let's find out who's just telling Isaiah all this good stuff. In 700 B.C., he said, I am he. Why don't you follow the I am he? Who is this I am he we can read? In St. John chapter 9, verse 1 and 9. Let's find out who is this I am he that's doing all this great big talking, tall talking. St. John chapter 9, verse 1 and 9.
Okay. St. John chapter 9, verses 1 and 9. Is that right? Yeah. St. John chapter 9, verse 1 reads, and as Yahuwah the Son passed by, he saw a man which was blind from his birth. Verse 9. Some said, this is he. Others said, he is like him. But he said, I am he.
Ain't that something? You mean that Yahuwah the Son, the I am he? See, way back then, 700 B.C., way back then, even in Enoch days. Long as you keep watching that one eye, say you ain't going to never pick out anything. But when you roll your sleeves up and get in where you fit in upon the forces of a true Israelite, you're going to be more than all right. Let's do Isaiah one more time. 51, and look at verse 14 down to 16. We're going to go on back away from it, mother. But you're going to hear. And you'll live down in grand style. Let's come back to Isaiah 51, 14 down to 16.
Isaiah 51.
Isaiah chapter 14 to 16.
Isaiah 51, verses 14 to 16. Verse 14. The captive exile hasten, that he may be loosed, and that he should not die in the pit, nor that his bread should fail. 15. But I am Yahuwah, your Yahuwah, that divided the sea, whose waves roar. Yahuwah of hosts is his name. Verse 16. And I have put my words in your mouth, and I have covered thee in the shadow of my hand, that I may plant the heavens and lay the foundation of the earth, and say unto
Yahshua. He said, your bread is not going to fail. He said, we told you how to keep your bread from not failing. He'll put everything before us, land, everything before us. Your bread ain't going to fail if you start doing some Bible. He said, everything before us. All you got to do is believe on him and step to the plate. Mother dear of Israel, we're going to leave it like that until we get back on the special edition called Thursday evening. You got the clothes. You stood tall in grand style, although they cut off the young line because they didn't understand what was going on. So that's their power. So what can we say? But close and say to them, Mother dear of Israel, until tomorrow, special edition called Thursday evening, you on the clock. Come out.
I'm going to read Proverbs chapter 22, verses 19 to 21, verse 19, that they trust may be in Yahweh. I have made known to thee this day, even to thee, verse 20, have not I written to thee excellent things